Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. Today we are joined by Chris Woodruff, Associate Director of Bands at Cal Poly. Welcome, Chris.
Hello, how are you, Brian?
Well, I'm fine, and I hope you are too. I am a music lover, and I know you're very involved in a variety of musical activities and venues, and so I very much look forward to the next half hour of discussion with you. Could you tell me a bit about yourself, your background, what led you to music, and perhaps in particular, what led you to the San Luis Obispo area and Cal Poly?
Well, if we go way back, I got to say that when I was in high school band, 7th grade through 12th grade, I had a marvelous band director, a marvelous band teacher, Paula Thornton, who was inspirational. She taught me music. In addition to that, she taught me the value of being part of a larger organization, something that was larger than myself. So that was high school. And at that point, I realized I wanted to be a high school band director. Then I went to college, LSU Baton Rouge, and there I realized I wanted to be a college band director. So I taught high school for a couple of years, and then taught high school band, very competitive marching band, and a wonderful concert band. And then I went on to Northwestern to do my grad work outside of Chicago. And
great university, by the way.
Marvelous university, great town. And I studied conducting with John Painter, Mallory Thompson, and Stephen Peterson. And then I started teaching college from then on out.
Wow, so born and raised somewhat in Louisiana?
Actually, born and raised mostly in Florida. My father was
in
the Navy.
So we moved around
quite a bit.
Moved around.
Yeah.
And then to Louisiana and then up to the Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at high school bands and then teaching and then on to the college and the university level.
That's right.
So when did you come to Cal Poly? Was it one of your first choices or hopes?
Well, I was teaching out in Pennsylvania in a small liberal arts college, wonderful little town, Williamsport, home of Little League Baseball. Oh. And the job opened up here at Cal Poly about 10 years ago. I applied, got the gig, and have been very happy ever since.
Wow, it's a wonderful thing all the way across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people I've met, having lived here many years myself, they are a little bit amazed to get here, and they never want to leave. So certainly one of the attributes or attractions is our great weather, but it's also our cultural institutions, our universities, our colleges, our schools, libraries, and our arts and cultural programs. I mentioned to you earlier that I'm a big music fan. Our sons sing and play various instruments. I play the piano myself and sing in the vocal arts ensemble. We have some concerts coming
Terrific.
Up. So it requires work, but a great sense of accomplishment. And you know that when you have moved somebody, when a chord rings,
mm-hmm.
as they say, you know that you've gotten something important across to the audience. You were also telling me that you are peripatetic in your activities. You perform in or conduct for mm-hmm. a variety of groups. Could you give us a list?
Sure. So at Cal Poly, for example, I do the Mustang Band, a band of about 210 students, mostly engineers. And then I also conduct the Wind Orchestra there, one of the two bands. So I work with Dr. Andy McMahon, who's director of bands at Cal Poly. I have on occasion conducted the Cal Poly Symphony. And in the community, I do a lot of work as a trumpet player. I play for Symphony of the Vines, occasionally for San Luis Obispo Symphony. This coming December, I'm playing for Santa Maria Philharmonic Brass Concert, and of course for Orchestra Novo for their concert coming up in November.
Is it true that a good employable musician is kind of like a hired gun? You know, if they need you and will pay you, you come.
That's sort of the idea. We put in a lot of work, whether it's education or lots of practice, and ideally that will pay off not only in the joy of musical expression, but also help pay the bills. And that's really,
right.
for many musicians in this community, that's an important part of what we do.
Yeah, to be able to stay here, you've got to work and got to get paid.
Exactly, especially in this community.
Yeah. Now, the bands at Cal Poly, different types of bands, many bands, an athletic band. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the athletic band at Cal Poly is a large organization. It was about 105 when I first came to Cal Poly. Now it's 210, 212. So we've seen a lot of growth. In any event, it essentially exists to support four NCAA teams. Of course, football, which we see every Saturday or most Saturdays in the fall. And then for men's basketball, women's basketball, and for women's volleyball. So we take that 210 complement, divide it into four pep bands, and those 50 students will play for the different pep games in Mott Gym.
Now, I imagine some of that music is done in the bleachers for the spirit during the game, and then some of it, though, is on the field, maybe at halftime or at the beginning. So choreography would be involved as well.
Right. So the field design, it's we do it in office. It's all custom for this group. So if we have 210 marchers on the field for pregame and for halftime, we have a software called Pyware. We design drill that looks interesting, is challenging for our very smart students, but also is straightforward enough that we can learn it in very little time. Because unlike many college bands across the nation, Cal Poly's band only rehearses twice a week, and that's just built into the schedule.
Say, as opposed to every day?
As opposed to, you know, 4 or 5 days during the work week. So with those 5 hours each week, we first prioritize music. As always, our prime directive, to borrow from Star Trek, is to make a beautiful sound.
Right.
And from there, we rehearse music indoors. Then we take it outdoors. We put that music and the choreography for our color guard and our feature twirlers on the field to drill. So depending on how many weeks or how many rehearsals we have to prepare for the next field show, and we do a different field show for every home game, you know, we'll design the drill accordingly.
Now, I'm guessing there's a physical element to this as well, not just a mental or musical element, because instruments are heavy.
Especially our tubas. Our tubas are 40 pounds, and they wear them on essentially on one shoulder. Our drums range between 25 to 35 pounds. And if you can imagine wearing a tenor drum or a bass drum, it's in front of you. So all that weight is on your front side. So we have to go through a very rigorous physical training at the beginning, during band camp, beginning of the fall. And each rehearsal, we have a stretching routine to make sure all the kids are healthy.
Now, I hear from, since I am involved in music, sometimes our singers will be singing and sometimes they'll be doing accompaniment or percussion. And they complain a little bit when you ask them to sing and play the drums or the congas. But that's not an issue for your marching band, because they're playing an instrument, if you will. They're marching, they're choreographing, or almost dancing, really.
The marching arts are indeed an athletic activity.
Right.
It's a whole body experience. We learn the music, or we learn the flag choreography, and we put it to the field, and it's amazing what those kids can do. I mean, if I had to do it today, I'm not sure that I myself could do it. But, you know, one of the things I say about Cal Poly Band is we're the smartest band on the West Coast. So what they do in very little time is truly amazing.
Well, they start off smart, I suppose. Now, these are students who are already academically superior because they got into the university, the Learn by Doing mantra, and they've taken this on as an additional activity. So really, they're going above and beyond.
Well, sure. And so the students that auditioned to get into Mustang Band have 4, 5, maybe 6 years of experience already playing in junior high and high school band programs, and they want to continue doing that in college. And at Cal Poly, they can do it. And so they audition to get in, and they make the time, no matter what major they are, whether it's architectural engineering or poli-sci or journalism, and they make the time to make it work for them.
Does the university give them accommodations like athletes get, you know, time off or excused absences? How does that work?
So unlike many schools across the country, we don't provide a stipend or a scholarship for our athletic band students. And that's mainly because it's also considered a regular ensemble. So no ensemble in the department gets any kind of special consideration. But on the occasion that our basketball team or volleyball team or football team have to travel for a tournament or such, then like the athletes, the university does support time away from class, so long as the students are making up that work.
What about travel costs?
So I do have an operating budget that covers travel costs, and that will cover meals for the students as well as their accommodation.
That's nice.
And, for example, this coming weekend, we're taking 210 kids up to Davis to support the football team. And that's a pretty big hunk of change if you're thinking of 63 hotel rooms and 5 charter buses.
But, I'm guessing that that type of activity, bands and athletics, it goes back in the mists of history. I mean, they go together, don't they?
They do indeed. I mean, if you look at Cal Poly's band, for example, we were founded back in 1915 initially as a band to support Cal Poly football. So in 1915, Cal Poly football and the band were founded in the same year.
I don't want to get too left-wing, but military, I mean, sometimes you could say certainly football is a sort of a proxy for winning and losing and military strategy, things like that. And they have bands, too, for spirit and for courage and everything else. So the two go together for coordination and drills and keeping one's spirits up. Is there – I'm going to ask this question. I don't know if it's easily answered, but what is the primary difference or differences between a band and a symphony? Is it a lack of strings?
Essentially, that's it. Symphonic band or a symphonic orchestra, basically we're talking about a band, it's a group of winds, brass, and percussion. On occasion, you might see, for example, with the military band, you might see an additional cello section or a string bass player. A symphony orchestra will be primarily strings, providing the core for that organization.
Yeah, of course, they sometimes have brass and percussion,
mm-hmm,
too.
Sure, but that really depends on the composer.
Right, right, and I guess some like... Wagner or whatever, he might have almost everything, and maybe Bizet's Carmen would have elephants on the, and
or
Tchaikovsky's
sure.
with cannons, mm-hmm, in the 1812
mm-hmm.
Overture.
Well, 1812 Overture, if you come to the concert on December 6th, the Bandfest concert, we will feature the 1812 Overture. Not with real cannons, because I think the PAC won't allow that.
Yeah, but maybe something to evoke
lots of bass drums.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do a station ID here. And remind everyone that this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas, KCBX on Public Radio on the Central Coast. Today we're joined by Christopher Woodruff, Associate Director of Bands at Cal Poly, and we're having a very, very interesting discussion about music in general, but also about the issue of music in education, bands, and music on the Central Coast. Chris, you brought some sound bites with you today, and a representative of some of your band work and even some of your solo work. Your instrument is, mm-hmm, I believe, a trumpet and cornet.
That's right.
Would you like to introduce maybe that first piece of the band music?
Sure. So this is a piece by the Mustang Band we performed last year. It's a tune by Fall Out Boy. You may know the group. And we'll feature our Cal Poly drumline in a section written by Matt Rice, our drumline instructor.
We'll be right back.
rhythms are incredible, exceedingly complex
to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be very difficult to play. Then we have one more coming up, also from one of your bands.
Sure. So this next selection is by Frank DeKelly. It's called Postcard from our Wind Ensemble concert a few years back. Indeed, Frank DeKelly is a composer who will be featured on our next concert on December 6th.
Stunning, and to me, the obvious question is 1915 to 2015. What changed? I mean, what would be the trends? I mean, to me, I'll just answer part of my own question: the rhythms and the melodies, not even close to being predictable.
Sure, I think. Among the big influences, of course, are the great composers who wrote for orchestras. I mean, in that piece, for example, you heard influences of Bernstein, probably a bit of John Adams as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe some Philip Glass. You know, those great, you know, minds of 20th century musical composition, you know, influenced the band world as well. I mean, how could they not?
Right.
And so the band world, founded on the military style, founded on transcriptions from the orchestral catalog, you know, sought to find its own voice in composers. And the composers who see the band as a legitimate and indeed valuable musical medium are writing works like this. And it just, it's, we're really lucky to have that.
Similar instrumentation, but very different feeling. In my mind, I was on a stormy sea or maybe on a train passing a landscape that was rapidly, you know, changing through mm-hmm. the train window, and could be anything like that.
Well, very appropriate. The composition Postcard written as a postcard
right.
to a family member. And so you can imagine travel as right. being very much the scene.
Now, you're also an accomplished brass performer,
mm-hmm.
and you have a couple of selections that we're going to hear.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about those. Introduce those.
So I have a couple short excerpts for you today, just me playing the trumpet. This first one is from Copland's Outdoor Overture. If I have any students who are interested in auditioning for the military bands, for example, the United States Marine Band, there is an audition list that you can find online, and that audition list will include excerpts from the major band works as well as the major orchestral works. And this one, the solo, is featured near the beginning of Copland's Outdoor Overture.
Great. Clean, beautiful, almost no vibrato.
Thank you.
And I know enough about horns. I mean, I don't play one, but it's easily fluffed, like with a violin. You've got to have your finger in the exact spot. You've got to have your lips and tongue and your breath, everything right on the spot.
And that's why that one's on that audition list.
Right.
Yeah, and you have that high C near the end, not the beginning, but near the end of that excerpt.
Right. When you're already a little bit tired, probably.
Mm-hmm. Now, this next one is also on the Marine Band excerpt list, and I wanted to play this for you because it's part of a piece, L'Histoire du Soldat, by Igor Stravinsky, that will be featured on the Orchestra Novo Chamber Concert on November 21st. That happens several times through the piece.
You mean that passage?
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that your trumpet or the cornet?
That actually was the cornet this time.
Now, I'm told, my son plays a little bit of both, that the cornet's harder to play, force the air through and get a sound. Is that true?
Oh, in some ways it is a bit more challenging because often the parts for cornet are more challenging to begin with, such as what you just heard. If you're looking for the difference between trumpet and cornet, the trumpet is a much more brilliant sound, mm-hmm. and the cornet is more a lyrical sound. It's a conical bore, like the French horn or the flugelhorn, but not nearly as mellow as a flugelhorn.
Right.
And if you look at the great works for the cornet and trumpet, let's say the Arban method for cornet and trumpet was written for the cornet by Jean-Baptiste Arban. And a lot of the music at the back of that book are very challenging technical works.
I as you know, I'm a big jazz fan, and some of my favorite performers are were in the early days, cornetists, Bix Beiderbecke, of course.
Sure, yeah.
Louis Armstrong played it for the first part of his career. But as you go forward into the 40s and 50s, very few, Ruby Braff, Nat Adderley, but not so much. And I'm guessing it's because the public wanted a more brilliant sound, or one that would stand out at the front of a orchestra or a band or possibly a bebop ensemble.
Sure,
and they
sure.
needed something that was more crisp and perhaps loud.
That was going to cut through in a lounge full of happy-go-lucky dancers.
Well, and clinking drinks and who knows what. Yeah, but it's certainly a beautiful sound. What I'd like to do in the remaining moments is just philosophize a little bit about your view about how important music is to an individual, to a society, and what we might look for by way of improvements here in the United States.
Sure. So I think, if you look at ticket prices for professional basketball games versus ticket prices for professional orchestra performances or opera performances, basketball is pretty much well overcome. And so if you think about a ticket price as representing the value that we place on the event, I think as a culture, we do prize sports, whether it's football or basketball or volleyball or whatever the event is. And I certainly am one who enjoys sports. But I think as a cultural expression of our values, of what it is to be a human being on this planet, I just think that music and the arts in general represent the best of us.
Well, sports, however you slice it, is a competition. I mean, maybe bullfighting isn't strictly a competition. I've heard that's about the only sport people don't bet on. But, it's about expressing yourself. And I've read that the performer bows at the end to thank the audience for coming to hear him or her as a thank you, as a sincere thank you. And so in my world, I suppose we would have sports, but maybe we'd have an Olympics of music or painting or poetry, and not just of athletic prowess in that world. And we were talking earlier also about how musical or artistic expression in general can be so important in a young person's development, especially for a kid whose talents run maybe a little bit outside the norm, and they need that way to express themselves. And a lot of times sculpture or painting or art or even graffiti handled in the right, eco-friendly way.
Sure, I think it was
something important.
The English composer Frederick Delius, who said that it is only that which cannot be expressed that is worth being expressed in music. And I think whether you're a young person, you're just finding your own voice in this world, or you're, at my age, trying to find the best way to express thoughts, feelings, ideas. Some of the only way that we can, the only text, the only language that we have to express and to influence, to argue a point is through music. I tell my students that, a musical phrase is an argument. And you have to commit to that argument. You have to commit, wholeheartedly with your full soul that this is the only way this can be said. And you have to convince not only yourself of that, but you have to convince an entire room full of listeners.
Or a proposition or a theory, if you will, or hypothesis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Although I know that improvisation is a big part of modern music, but it's also a part of classical music in the cadenzas that were not necessarily written down as fixed, like an obbligato, but were more freeform, at least in the day. I also read something interesting that the big stars of the 1600s, 1700s were, I mean, very few people except the wealthy got to hear them, but they were seen perhaps less as stars, but rather as employees of a duke or a duchess or a pope or something like that. Well, Christopher, this has been an amazing half hour talking to you, talking about the musical scene on the Central Coast and music in general, listening to some of your great skill and also your concert bands. This has been Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library, for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we were joined by Christopher Woodruff, Associate Director of Bands at Cal Poly. Thank you, Chris.
It's been my pleasure, Brian.